and new life. Words can also hurt, demoralize, and lead us to places where we really do not want to go. Words don't simply describe things, but words can make things happen. There was a philosopher by the name of J.L. Austin, and he developed this theory called speech act theory, where he contends that we know what a word means not by what it says. We know what a word means not by what it says, but rather what it does for the community or for the individual. For example, when we think about speech theory, speech and action, when you make a commitment, for example, in marriage or in any relationships that are important to you, you honor that relationship, isn't it? You say, I do, or you say, yes, I will follow this path. So there is a corresponding action to the words that you just offered. Or for example, when you say, well, I love the church, and I will commit myself to the work of God, we intend to make a difference. We intend to make sure that the words is accompanied by our own actions. And so we do our best to honor what we say, and we rely, and thank goodness, we always rely on God's mercy when we have fallen short. We know from the scripture that from the very beginning of creation, words from the scriptures were intended to offer a way out of chaos into the goodness of our gracious God. Remember the Genesis story. Out of chaos, out of the void, God offered a word and things begin to take shape and to experience the goodness of God. And so I was interested about that speech act theory. Because when we look at the gospel this morning, Jesus was very good in saying and in doing. And we know that the parables are intended to shake things up. The parables are intended as a platform to get his word out so that people can act accordingly to their faith commitment. It comes as a surprise that Jesus used the mustard seed, and then Jesus also used yeast as an example of the kingdom of heaven. And when we talk about the mustard seed, it's almost the tip, the point of the ballpoint or that coloring pen. And I asked my friend Nancy, how about yeast? Well, she said it's a microbe, isn't it? It's a change agent. And I was wondering in my own mind, how come Jesus would use these kinds of things? Why can't he use something that is more familiar, an ordinary tree or something like that, to talk about the kingdom of heaven? But it comes as a surprise that Jesus used the word, the mustard seed and yeast, to compare the kingdom of heaven that is happening in our world. I'm into visuals, but it's kind of hard to imagine a single grain of mustard, isn't it? It doesn't seem to it doesn't have a good visual quality with that one simple grain of mustard. And how about yeast? You know, it's a baking yeast. That's all I know. But there's really nothing so much that is exciting about this whole idea. And in fact, mustard, I like Grey Poupon. You know, you like that? Rather than the other brand. But it's really a matter of preference, isn't it? You know, do you like this kind or do you like the $10 one as opposed to the one that comes in small packets, so to speak? But Jesus used this image in a very interesting way. Because for the Jewish people, you know, they will not plant a mustard seed in their garden. And that is why in the scripture it says a man received a single mustard seed and he went out to his field, planted the seed far, far away from home. Because the quality of the mustard plant is very destructive. All of a sudden, it takes over. It becomes a tree. It provides shade, you know, for the people looking for shelter. But it is so invasive, and that is why in the Jewish understanding, this is really a weed with dangerous takeover properties. But Jesus said, you know, the kingdom of God is like the mustard seed. And of course, in our own experience, we always say, and we have heard it in so many different ways, you know, our faith is like a mustard seed. Our faith is like a mustard seed. It conspires to make something great. And I believe in that. I believe that our faith is small, but then it develops into a strong and everlasting, remarkable faith in our lives today. But can you imagine the disciples hearing this surprise parable for the first time? Because this is really an actual shift in terms of understanding. For the Jewish people, when you talk about the kingdom, it's about power. It's about authority. When you sing, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty," that's the kind of power that the people of Israel were looking for. And then all of a sudden, Jesus said, the parable of the kingdom of God is like a weed. It doesn't quite resonate so easily. But Jesus said in many occasions, if you had faith as a grain of mustard seed, you can say to the sycamore tree, and now he's into sycamore tree, you know, doing whatever the sycamore tree is doing near the water and being sustained. Jesus said, you can tell that sycamore tree to move to the sea, and that sycamore tree will move. And that mountain, you can tell that mountain to move, and that mountain will also move. Think about the surprise. Think about the ridiculous idea that Jesus is setting as a standard, taking something away from their natural habitat and transforming them into something different. Well, the man who sowed the seed probably was surprised. Probably he had no idea that his land would soon be thick and invasive. So one of the invasive plants that I know of, but I have not seen personally, is called the kudzu plant. Have you seen that? I've seen it in pictures, but I haven't seen it firsthand. I love the comics Kudzu. Do you remember Kudzu? He's a crusty old preacher, right? In the Kudzu, there was a comic strip some time ago, and he wear this black brim hat, and he was always preaching about fire and brimstone. So I love that, but I don't think it's available anymore because it's invasive. But when I think about that character, is this really what I like for the kingdom of God? Something that is so difficult and sometimes offensive, you know, that he's going to change the way things are. But you see, Kudzu, he's called Reverend Kudzu, you know, was also a part of building the kingdom of God. And then the second thing that Jesus said, which came also as a surprise, is about yeast. You know, why would Jesus use that as an illustration? We know from the Bible, from the Exodus story, that the people left in a hurry and they were told to leave everything behind and eat unleavened bread because yeast is a change agent, but yeast is also a symbol for our sinfulness, for our own wrongdoings, for our corrupt nature. But you see, Jesus is always pushing the boundaries, coloring outside of the lines. But Jesus also said, seek, remember the song, ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these things shall be added unto you. And when I think about the church, and when I think about the community and the world in which we live in, I really think that this is the best time for the church. Never mind all of the things that is happening in our churches today. I think this is the best time for the church because we have something to offer in the good news of his redeeming and transforming grace. I think we are going to be in trouble if we have nothing to offer, but we have something to offer the world. It's the Spirit of the living God. And at the end of the day, wherever our paths will lead us, whatever destination we decide to go, it is the hope that the followers of Jesus, if not the whole world, might embrace God's reign. And when they embrace God's reign, it would be a reign that is signified with joy and a commitment that is so intense that sometimes it's like a foolish errand. The kingdom of God is so intense, so unorthodox. But then, in the midst of that, we see the kingdom of God. You see, the good news has the potential to reorder everything. And when it reorders everything, its root sinks in deeply. And that is why it's a surprise. The least become great. Those who are without power all of a sudden have received the power of the living God. And that is God's gift of surprise in this parable. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Please stand and join us in our closing song.